Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nuance Needed. I'm Amanda White.
And this is Sam Dalton. And today is a day. And we are going to be chatting about optimization culture today. And we've been doing these deep dives lately. And this one, we're kind of going back to more of our freestyle rift. Because I think, like, at least let me tell you where I've been coming from with this. Because this came up while we were recording our last episode.
Yeah.
And kind of off the cuff, like, ooh, we have some thoughts about this. I also feel like I've been seeing the anti-optimization culture content really all of a sudden, like, domino in, like, the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Like, I kind of feel like all of a sudden some of us, like, who I would put in the professionals category, as in, like, the licensed individuals, the people that, like, know what they're talking about. I don't know what it is that all of a sudden it feels like we've all given ourselves permission to, like, speak to this stuff finally. Because I think optimization is something that feels deeply unique to coaching. That's my thesis. It feels like low hanging fruit to tell somebody you just have to maximize your schedule. That feels like low hanging fruit to give to somebody as like, it's this like is such, fix.
And it's such like MLM vibes when you sort of break it down too. Like, I think that's what's so interesting about optimization content. It is all you have to do this and you are 100% responsible for your results. And if you don't have the life you want, it's
all your fault
because of you and your lack of hard work.
Right. And I think the video that kind of pushed a lot of people over the edge was, of course, the hero, Stephen Bartlett. I say that with every ounce of sarcasm in the world. Diary of a CEO podcast, who came out and said that he had 3 glasses of wine and it ruined him for 3 days. And how it just completely threw off his ability to be productive. And I think it's really been like clips from his podcast over the past couple of months that have helped people kind of be like, what are we doing here? Like, I've even had a couple of clients bring some of those clips to me in session and be like, what are we doing here? Because he was
the Tucker Carlson impression that I told you about last. What are we doing? What's going on?
What's going on? What is this, Donald? Why are we here? I am confused.
It's so good.
I am confused.
Wait, let me see if I can put this in here. Hold on. Because I just need it. I need people to hear this. Hold on.
Let's all go to the movies. Huh? Really? Yes. Why don't we grab some popcorn and watch American culture collapse? What are we doing? What's going on? All right, coming in hot. Well, how do you feel about this year's nominees? Where to even begin?
Oh. So good.
What's going on?
What's going on? What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Okay. All right. I interrupted you. Okay, continue.
No, you're fine. Yeah, Stephen Bartlett can take a hike. However, like, I think it was like two, three months ago, he was the one that had an episode with that other guy who was like from Love Island or whatever. And they were talking about like how important it is to have kids. But yet they were both opening up about how deeply inconvenient kids are to their lives.
And they both don't have kids. But they were preaching about how you should have kids.
But they're deeply concerned that the birth rate is falling. But neither of them need to sacrifice anything to have kids because they're so worried about optimizing their lives and they just don't know when they would fit it in. But other people, specifically women, should be doing that.
Yes.
And I, for me personally, when I saw those clips go around, that was kind of a moment where I started to be like, what is our obsession with, like, everything has to be perfectly temperature controlled, condition monitoring, optimized, perfect. I do the same thing all day, every day. It's perfect. I eat the perfect amount. I sleep the perfect amount. I whatever. Because no one's actually doing that.
Except these people, I guess.
Well, but except
I also
these
don't believe them. Totally.
I don't believe them. I do not believe you.
Although I did watch that documentary about that guy.
Oh, yeah. The billionaire that's trying to live forever.
Yes. Who,
yeah.
If you want to hear us rant about that, it is on Substack. It's a bonus episode. I don't know. He was like going to Puerto Rico to get, like, you know, in getting people's blood and doing. I believe him. He gets up at 4 a.m., 3 a.m. He doesn't eat. He's a crazy person. So I do think it can become an addiction that actually people do get stuck in. I believe those are the people that do it.
Yeah. His funeral is going to be a wild experience.
Yeah.
Because he is mortal.
Live streams it.
We're all going to have a funeral one day.
It's true.
Like, that's, you know, that's, that is.
Don't tell me twice. We'll talk about death.
Amanda's like, can we talk about funerals today? Actually, we're going to deep dive funerals.
Well, what do you think our cultural, what was your assessment? What is our cultural obsession?
I think we are all so deeply, aggressively bordering on violently anxious in these modern times that I think we are so desperate to grasp for the illusion of control because we feel so out of control. And so we tell ourselves, if I optimize my life, if I optimize my time, if I time block, if I ensure that I cut out anything that is bad for me or, you know, or things that I perceive to be bad for me, or if I do this exact way, and if I listen to this exact advice, I will avoid some deeply uncomfortable outcome that I don't feel I'm quote unquote prepared for. And I think it goes back to a lot of what you've said of how we're trying to find a way of leading frictionless lives. I think we have collectively, subconsciously bought into, oh, the whole point of this is to avoid discomfort. If I am feeling any version of discomfort, I am immediately doing something that is quote unquote bad for me.
I think it's also the arrival fallacy to the max.
Yes.
Right? Like, I think it is this belief that if we get all of these things, if we get healthy enough, if we get, I don't know, jacked enough, if we look smax enough, if we get the right house, the right job, right? Like, I think a lot of those things are all on the way to getting to this place of having this life that we think we want, and then our life being perfect, and then we will escape the fundamental truth that we are all human and we'll all be uncomfortable and in pain.
Yeah.
And it is like the influencer luxury version of this, and it is so interesting how the flavors of self-help are so different from men versus women, where men, it's all about like productivity and biohacking, and even looks maxing is such a masculine tech word, you know, like, and then right for women, it is being in, you know, being in a high vibrational state, being in your feminine, being, you know, carefree but productive, being busy and booked, all of that.
The soft life, if you will.
Yeah. So it's like they're all intertwined, I think, in this weird way. And then I think it becomes an obsession and an addiction to self-help and bettering yourself, because if you're constantly trying to be better, you never have to be where you are.
Ooh.
Because you're not accepting where you are, you know?
Right. But I think that's, that is like, I think that I've been even realizing, like, in my own content, because I've kind of been in, like, a – I felt in a rut for the past mm-hmm. little bit. And I feel like I've been trying to kind of, like, reassess, like, what it is that I want to say. Like, I think more, like, am I showing up, like, authentically in, like, what I think, right? And like, my thoughts and whatever. And I think what I've realized is, like, no, like, we've – like – the concept of healing has been completely corrupted, thoroughly, like to its marrow. It has been corrupted, and it has been corrupted into a point of arrival.
Yeah.
That there's this moment that you will finally wake up one day and nothing will impact you.
Yeah.
And you will be eternally happy and regulated and calm. And nothing from your past will ever come back up to the surface, and you will never have to feel upset again, and you won't care about the people that hurt you and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I've allowed my own truth and my own belief system to come out of, like, no, that's not the point at all.
Yeah.
That's not it at all. The whole point is how you come to peace and acceptance of the things that you've been through and that they might impact you for forever. Mm-hmm. And that's not a sign that you've failed or that you haven't done something good enough or you're weaker than anybody else. It's that you are a human who is complex and nuanced and layered. Mm-hmm. And to still be bothered by something years down the road or to have something bring something back up to the surface that you have to sit with maybe for a day or two, that's just life. Mm-hmm. Or to not be perfectly regulated all the time. Mm-hmm. To have days where you're just not feeling it and that's okay. And that the whole point of your skills and your awareness is to figure out how to not make that everybody else's problem.
Yes.
How to have perspective of your own life and your own
moods. Make that a TikTok video or an Instagram video.
Please, I have been.
Sam. Be like, your job is to not vomit all over everyone.
Well, and okay. So I'm in a new relationship. I'm in a fresh, happy relationship. And I have had the realization of, like, oh, we're not talking to people enough about how to accept other people's boundaries.
Yeah.
All we are talking about is how to be okay expressing our own boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, my man is very aware and emotionally intelligent. And there have been a few times where he has levied what I think some people would interpret as a boundary, right? Like a need, right?
Yeah.
And it involves something that he needs that is separate from me. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll give you an example. I spent the weekend at his place and we had an incredible time. And it was Sunday night or it was like Sunday afternoon. And I was like, oh, I could just like stay and leave early Monday morning. And he was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like amazing. We get to the evening and I kind of start to I can see that he's like thinking, like something's kind of shifted. And we start talking about stuff and I'm like, do you want me to stay? Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know. I do, but I don't. And I was like, do you need your alone time? Mm-hmm. And he was like, I do, but like, I don't want you to think that this is because I don't want to spend time with you. Mm-hmm. But like, right. And so I'm like, you want your alone time. You want your alone time on a Sunday night and you want to be able to ease into your Monday morning so that you can whatever. And he was like, yeah, like actually, like I think I do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And he was like, what's wrong? Talk to me. Like, what are you going through? And I realized that I was just feeling sad.
Yeah.
I've finally found this person that I'm very happy with and I want to spend all of my time with them. And I realized like, oh, I need to pull back a bit, right? And be like, you can go home after your weekend together and everything's okay.
Yeah.
Right. And him telling you that he has this need of wanting a quiet night and a quiet morning has absolutely nothing to do with the feelings that he has for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And to sit with that and realize that even though I felt sad and like disappointed in that moment, to have the awareness that had nothing to do with me or him. it was the feeling of I was disappointed that I wanted to spend another night. I knew we were both having like a busy, crazy week and it was going to be a bit till we could see each other. And I was just sad. But I didn't have to turn that into like, well, how do you feel about me? And why this? And why don't you want me here? And what? But that was me accepting his boundary.
My favorite hack in being in a relationship. And whenever I say this, people are like, this is weird. But what my husband and I do is we say things like this. We'll say, it occurs to me when you do this, that this. So you're not accusing someone of doing it, but you can say it. Because sometimes I'm just like, I just have to say to you, I hear you. I get why you don't want me to be here, whatever it is, or you need a time alone. And I'm not coaching you on like, you should have done this. But like when my husband does something that bothers me, I'll be like, I hear what your perspective is. And I just want you to know, when you do this, it occurs to me like you don't care. That's just how it occurs. Just so you know.
That's how it occurs. That's how it happens.
And then he'll be like, well, when you say that, it occurs to me that you aren't listening. Right.
Whatever. You didn't pay attention. No, I like that a lot.
It's such a good phrase. Like other people will say like the story I'm making up or whatever. Yeah. But truly, I know it's annoying. Like I hate how this stuff is all like unsexy, uncool stuff. Like people think that it's like not cool to communicate in this like clunky way. And we're not saying like go therapy speak with everyone in your life. But like it is okay to say what you need and ask for it and negotiate this. And it doesn't mean you don't have a good relationship or you're not meant to be together.
But see, I actually think it's the exact opposite, Amanda. I think what we are telling people is we're actually telling people how to go do this. Mm-hmm. Like how to take it farther than the therapy speak.
Yeah.
Right? Like to be in the wrestle of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And like him, like I was so appreciative that him and I like did that. And he was able to say like, and I know to all of you guys listening that are like in long relationships, you guys are like, oh my God, this is precious that you, the most devastating thing was you were like, spend the night with you. Like, I own it. Let me have it. Let me have it. Regardless.
Can I tell you the most annoying thing about Mike right now is we are packing to go to my brother's wedding.
Right.
And every time we pack, this man packs more than me. He gets one large suitcase and me and Peyton share a suitcase because none of his like, I mean, it's a long wedding with many events, unfortunately. And there's like a lot of, you know, suits and stuff like that. Right. But I was like, it just feels selfish that I'm shoved into this suitcase with Peyton squishing my dresses. But you're bringing all your shoes with shoe trees in them.
Can't
my dresses are smaller than my suits.
Can he put the shoes in a carry-on?
No, because his hand is messed up because my husband got into this drill accident and drilled the tops of his fingers off. Anyway, fun fact for people who'd like to know.
Yes. We just sat in it. And I think something that I have been so attracted to him with is like we have sat in these conversations and we've both been like very open to like each other's like emotional experience, which I think has helped like bring us together pretty quickly. Yeah. But that's the thing though, is there's no optimization that is going to make sitting in it with your partner fully comfortable.
Yes.
There's no amount of optimization or knowing or therapy experience that is going to alleviate any of the discomfort of actually applying this in real life.
Because you have a body. And unfortunately, emotions are bodily experiences that you cannot hack your way out of.
No. No. And your nervous system is your nervous system. And your nervous system is, in fact, designed to keep you alive. You need it. You need it. You need anxiety. You actually need anxiety. And the whole thing is not to learn how to get rid of it. It's to learn how to actually live with it. And how to tell yourself, like, just because I have spicy tummy right now doesn't mean I actually have a reason to have spicy tummy. Totally. And that's okay. And I'm going to go do anything else other than sit and listen to this narrative in my brain. And I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just exhausted by, you know, the three tips this and the five tips that and the three signs this and the four the blah, 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 blah.
Well, I think, too, the problem with, like, this whole narrative of where we started, right, with Stephen Marlette saying that it, like, ruined the next few days.
Yeah.
Is, I think, one, when I first saw it, I got a little, like, I felt my, you know, defenses mm-hmm. come up a little bit because some people were really like, you should be able to drink and wine shouldn't, like, calm down and stuff like that. And I'm always like, okay, but I don't think we need to walk away from this and being like, everyone should just drink three glasses of wine and right. relax. Who cares? Like, if alcohol negatively impacts you, yeah, you can stop drinking. The issue with it was that he was like, this became this. I didn't sleep well. And then I didn't eat perfectly. And then I didn't, you know, work out, which then impacted my sleep, which then impacted that. Like, that, to me, I'm like, you have anxiety
yes.
about this, right? Yes. Like, wellness is supposed to improve your life. If it is giving you anxiety, it is not helping.
No.
And I have such a beef, actually, with, like, wearables. Like, whoops, Aura rings, Apple Watches.
I'm starting to feel the same. I'm starting.
Do you have a wearable?
Uh-uh.
I don't either.
Uh-uh. I never got an Aura ring. And I think I have the very controversial opinion that for most people wearing it, you actually didn't need more information. You needed to learn how to live without the information.
Ah! I agree. Unless you, like, don't have a uterus and you need to, like, predict your period
uh-huh.
or you have a medical condition
uh-huh.
or
uh-huh.
it truly is something that you can forget about and not worry about.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think we have too much information.
I think we have too much information. You know too much about yourself.
You're not meant to know your temperature all day, every day. And then you put it into AI and then you wonder what's going on. Like, no. I don't know. I knew myself well enough that I was like, this would be terrible for me. Like, when I didn't sleep, I was like, the last goddamn thing on earth I need is to have a device that tells me about how badly I slept. Are you kidding me?
I can see, again, there, as with anything on earth, there is a population that will benefit from this thing. I am not sitting here saying, like,
if you're a professional athlete, I think you probably need all
for sure. For sure.
You're running a marathon.
Yes, absolutely. If you work a 9-to-5, I just have the question of, like, why? Like anything, are we actually going to explore why you need that level of data about the functioning of your body?
And well, the other thing is your body is not just like, It has been debunked that it's like calories in, calories out. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, your body moves and changes and does different things and adapts, and you're going to move more, you're going to move less. And that is, like, appropriate and normal. Yeah. And I understand, like, the urge to be like, mm-hmm. I would like to know how far I walked, because I would like to look at, like, a 6-month trend or a couple month trend that I'm, like, not walking as much. And it's nice to get a reminder to stand up and move around. Like, I didn't really have a huge problem with Apple Watches. I think Mm-mm. where I started being like, what's going on, is when the Aura rings started being a big thing. And then also there are people wearing multiple wearables. Like, people wear a Whoop and an Apple Watch because the Whoop isn't a watch, or they wear an Aura ring and an Apple Watch. And, like, I've thought about getting a watch because I'm like, if I ever got into running, it would be nice to not carry my phone around. But that's a joke, Amanda, because I have more running gear.
Amanda's not running, everybody. I'm not running. But I don't know. I've I was neutral about it for the longest time. I didn't really see, I've never had one. I didn't really see the need why for me personally, but I was like, go with God, do what you're going to do. Yeah. But I've been thinking about it more, and I just am kind of like, what does it change? Like to me, I get it. You're the whole like biofeedback thing is like, you know what your body's responding, you know what to give it to take care of it. But I think what's the word I'm trying to use to describe this? The diagnostics we are trying to throw at simply fluctuating as a human being is really concerning. And even like I'll have clients say to me like, oh, like I slept so bad last night. And I'll be like, well, how was the rest of the week? Oh, it wasn't bad. Okay.
Yeah, but also, I worry, are we turning towards data instead of ourselves? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like sometimes you can have the metric of sleeping really bad.
Yeah.
But maybe you didn't feel that bad until you like looked at your data. And it worries me because more and more I think we are like not trusting our internal state, which is a specific process called interoception. That's like the ability to sense what's happening in your body, hunger, fullness, getting sick, you know, all of that. It's really, really important because it's also like the foundation of good emotional regulation. If you are not in touch with what's happening in your body, you're not going to notice when you're starting to get anxious or having another sensation. And I worry that more and more we are outsourcing with AI, with the internet. People are constantly telling us what's wrong with us before we even would have thought to think that there was something wrong with us. And I wonder if it's also similarly happening with like data where we're looking for reasons we're sick. We're looking for reasons that there's a problem. Like, I do think this is such an unpopular opinion, but I do think there's like been a rise that I've seen in my work of health anxiety because 100%. Of all of this data that 100%. We have access to. And like, it's hard.
I completely agree. And I'm going to take it even one step farther. The term that I've been really struggling with in terms of its prevalence is perimenopause. That timeline is being stretched and stretched and stretched and stretched. I mean, I'm seeing it, like people our age be like, I'm in perimenopause. And I'm like, are you?
I like don't know enough to say it. It does feel trendy.
It feels like, trendy.
I think it is not well known enough.
No.
So I think it like does need to be talked about
more.
But it is weird how the internet becomes obsessed with certain things and then
Well, and
like
what
tape. We were like so fucking obsessed with mouth tape and no one uses mouth tape anymore.
I think like, and again, this is not me saying perimenopause isn't real. Obviously, there's a ramp up to menopause. 100% biologically, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
What I think has happened is we heard a couple of outlier stories of it happening to women younger. And now everything is being attributed to that. Because we have invested nothing in studying women's health. And women are again left feeling in the dark, grasping for any sort of answer that explains fluctuations in their body. And so thus we get pumped with, well, we don't need to do research. You just need an aura ring.
Yeah.
Right? Like
that, by the way, the tech company is selling your data. Like,
yes,
that's the other sinister part of all of this is this is capitalism all the way down. Like,
right.
This isn't just data you get. I mean, there are some, you know, exemptions to this, I'm sure. But like all of this self-optimization is a product being sold to you because no one can actually sell the product that is learn how to sit and how uncomfortable you feel in having a hard conversation. So instead, we sell someone now you can track, you know, your heart rate so you know if you're anxious.
Right. Okay, does anybody else have a dad that feels absolutely impossible to shop for? My dad is the kind of guy that anytime I'm like, Dad, I really want to get you something for Father's Day. He's like, no, don't get me anything. Your love is enough, right? And it's like, okay, that's really great, but I need to get you a gift. You deserve to be celebrated too. And so I've decided instead of asking him what he wants, because that's just too difficult, I'm going to make that decision, that executive decision, on my own. And I'm going to get him the most luxurious combo I can think of, which is the Cozy Earth Bamboo Sheet Set and their new Everywhere Pant and Everyday Polo for men. The quality in this is incredible. Your man, whether it's your dad, your brother, your husband, your boyfriend, whoever it is, they are going to absolutely be obsessed with this set. The quality is incredible. It is going to feel like they are just walking around in pajamas. And the Everywhere Pant can be worn to work. It can be worn casually. It can be worn professionally. They're incredible. And the Bamboo Sheet Set, they will be thanking you every time they go to bed. I am absolutely obsessed with this. I can't wait to give it to them. The thing I also love about Cozy Earth is how strongly they stand behind the products that they're giving to us. Everything gets a 100-night sleep trial. Okay, you can return it after 100 nights if you are not happy with it, and there is a lifetime warranty on clothing and hassle-free returns. For the dads, stepdads, grandpas, and every father figure who shows up, this one's for them. Cozy Earth's Bamboo Sheet Set, Everywhere Pant, and Everyday Polo are designed to keep him cool, comfortable, and actually relaxed all summer long. Dad lives here. Head to CozyEarth.com and use my code NUANCE, that's N-U-A-N-C-E, for 20% off your order. That's code NUANCE, N-U-A-N-C-E, for an exclusive 20% off. And if you see a post-purchase survey, mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here. I've said this before and I will say it a million more times. Anxiety sells. Mm-hmm. Marketing speaks to anxiety. Marketing speaks to scarcity. Marketing speaks to a problem. And there are certain instances where that is in fact helpful, because there are real problems to which there are very helpful solutions. And I think in the current marketing sales capitalistic ecosystem that we live in, there are a lot of things that aren't actually problems that are being turned into problems in order for people to start companies.
Yep.
Which, fine. Everybody has the freedom to do that. You can do whatever you want. People get to buy it and people get to wear it. But I also think there is still a population of us who actually are fine.
Yeah.
We actually don't need that solution. We don't need that product. We don't need that intervention. And just because somebody else did doesn't mean that we do. Mm-hmm. And somebody else's experience is not an immediate indicator of what our experience is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think the amount of bandwagoning, courtesy of social media and people understanding trends, right? There's no originality anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, even people have said to me, like, you don't have an aura ring? That's wild. You're a therapist. How do you not have an aura ring? And I'm like, because I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need to think of myself at that level. I just don't. Like, I know I am already in my head enough. I am already thinking.
I don't need an alert that that my heart rate's up.
I know. I feel it.
But that's what I mean. Like, we need to be able to trust ourselves on some level, mm-hmm. too. And I worry with all of this excessive information and outsourcing that we are listening to what other people think we should do, and then we're mm-hmm. asking, you know, AI about it and stuff like that, that we are like, it is, we are losing the ability
right.
to have discretion for ourselves.
Right. 100%. And I think what I'm noticing more than anything is just like the terror people feel at the thought of getting something wrong. And I put wrong in air quotes, right? Like, I missed something. I didn't do this. I didn't get mm-hmm. that. This thing happened because I didn't do that thing. Mm-hmm. And I've been like really sitting with where that could be coming from. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to ever come across as I'm like a one-track mind for problems in terms of it being like social media. It's all social media.
Yeah.
But I think what is hard is some of us are spending anywhere from 4 to 7 hours a day consuming content from other people mm-hmm. and algorithms designed to speak uniquely to you and the things that you are searching for and following on and talking about and engaged with, right?
Yeah.
And just... I think we hear these horror stories that used to just be kept to like an Oprah special in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. right, that you would watch for an hour. Mm-hmm. And then you would talk about it with your friends, maybe, and then you would go about your life because that was the only time you heard about it. And now you hear about things constantly, all the time. This person, this, that person, that, this happened to me too. This is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. And I think it is so, the level of anxiety that that is going to innately produce is inhuman. Mm-hmm. And I think we're consuming information and data at a rate that I don't know if we should ever evolve enough to consume. Mm-hmm. Because we don't need it. Mm-hmm. And I think the wearables and social media and this optimization content and like this whole like you're going to hit a space where all of this is perfect. You're going to get a mm-hmm. – and I've had some people push back on that and say like, well, nobody's actually saying that. And I'm like, but they don't need to. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's being sold here. Mm-hmm. What's being sold here is if you have A problem and you use B solution, you are going to get C outcome. Mm-hmm. And the C outcome more often than not gets packaged as rest, peace, mm-hmm. feeling better. Mm-hmm. Which again, I don't have a problem with that marketing strategy for particular things. Because that, again, the nuance of all of this is that sometimes that is true. Sometimes there are things that are genuinely helpful. Yeah. But I think exactly to what you said, we have lost the ability to understand and have trust in our own sense of confidence that this is something that I actually need and would benefit from.
Well, I think the other problem with all of this to talk about, is this just social media, is like literacy is way down, right? Like critical thinking is way down. Like I think there are all these interconnecting problems as well. Like we have too much information even off of social media. You probably have too much information about, you know, I don't know, at work. Like yeah. You probably have too much information from Googling. You have too much information from talking to, you know, AI. You probably, I mean, I think of it as a parent. I have so much information about my child. I get updates, messages. Like you used to just drop your kid off somewhere and assume and that they were fine. And now you're getting like live updates. So then you're worried about things. I just dropped my dog off at someone's house for Rover. And I'm like, you know, things are good. I'm getting it. But it makes you dependent on getting a good update sort of for like your day being okay. And then when you don't have one, you feel like there's something wrong. When sometimes people figure things out. And you're fine. So I don't think it's just social media. I think it is like our extremely hyper-connected, hyper-information age. We're just like in this age of overwhelm because we have so much information. No one can possibly sort through it. Combined with critical thinking is down. Literally, misinformation is so high. Even if you're really like intelligent and you study this, it's easy to get tricked by it. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about AI influencers and slop that's not even made. Google just changed their algorithm. So when you Google search now, it defaults to the AI like aggregate. So if you think about it, it's like it's a giant twisted game of telephone where it's like AI's interpretation of a bunch of other stuff that may be AI slop based on other stuff, based on other stuff. It's like, what are we? It's just so overwhelming. Really optimistic episode we have, Sam.
This is really good. This is going places. No, I don't know. I just want people to start feeling like living their lives to their particular needs is okay. Right? That like it might not look like everybody else's.
Yep.
And that's fine. That's what it's supposed to be. And I think I've even seen this to kind of shift it away from stuff that feels so serious to something a little more lighthearted. I've been seeing this in like fashion content. Hmm. There's been like a death of originality in style because everybody is looking for the trend. Mm-hmm. Everybody is copy pasting influencer outfits, and which is then having the trickle down effect of what people design at companies. So that's why everything right now, it feels like it looks the same. Like every brand is kind of the same. You can find the same thing. And it feels like there's not a lot of like originality. And also private equity is way deep into fashion now. So it feels like the quality has plummeted. But then because, you know, the fucking dingbat that's leading the world right now, everything is like so much more expensive. So it feels like shirts that used to be $50 are now $100. And it's like, but then we all look the same. So it's just an odd, we're living through like a really, really, really odd, fascinating time if you're able to like remove yourself from it for a second. Mm-hmm. And I think all of the pieces are jumbled and I don't know where everything is going to fall. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel really passionate about trying to help people find their own inner knowing. And I know that that sounds like so cliche and so cheesy, but to be like, are you actually anxious about this thing because you are worried about this thing? Or did somebody tell you that you need to be worried about this thing?
Totally.
Like, why? Why are you worried about this? Mm-hmm. Like, do you actually care about this? Mm-hmm. And it's okay if you don't.
Yeah.
You don't have to, because some random, like, influencer or content creator or business or whatever dropped some information on your page saying, like, hey, I had this experience and it was awful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also so hard because it's like, we are like hyper individualistic. So we are like separated from people. So then we are like hyper responsible for the things in our life because there's so much information. It also is this double-edged sword of way more responsibility on us. Like, I'll give you an example of the other day I saw this very helpful video about if your child gets lost, what you should do is you should teach them to not say mom and you should teach them to say your name. Because if you're like in a mall and your kid is screaming mom, like lots of kids are screaming mom. And you should tell them to go up to a mom with kids. Yeah. Because they're statistically the least likely to be serial killers. To do something.
Right.
Right. Which is a great tip. But I had this overwhelming experience of, oh my God, if I hadn't come across this video. Like, I would have messed up. My child would have maybe been abducted and it would have been my fault because I didn't know this tip, which is so different than 50 years ago, because now I think there is so much more blame because there is so much more information. You're supposed to just know everything. Like with SIDS, we blame parents so much more now because we know so much about it. And it is this double-edged sword where it's good, but you also know too much, so then you feel hyper responsible for it. And then you feel like you need to learn everything. Like, I'm so glad I don't have a baby anymore because, you know, I don't know. When you're in the NICU and your baby's being released from the NICU, you have to, like, pass this, like, CPR test to be allowed to leave.
Right.
And it feels like so much pressure and you have to do this whole thing. And I just remember even, like, car seats and stuff. I'm like, I'm so glad she's, like, more sturdy because I felt very much like –
yeah.
I tried to learn how to do CPR on a baby and I like didn't do a great job of learning. So if she choked, it would have been my fault. If we got into a car crash and she was put into the car seat correctly, it would have been my fault. Because there are videos that show you about the mistakes that parents make putting their kids in car seats. It's like that level of stuff that is, and it like keeps you in because then you're like, well, I should learn about, you know, the most dangerous things that like choking, like I'm always being told about like the most common choking things for kids. And it's like, again, you feel grateful that you learned this thing, but then it feels like your responsibility to remember to never give them a gummy bear until they're 4 years old. And there's no nuance in it. So.
The level. No, I. The level of rage I feel for, like, any woman I work with who is a new mom. Mm. The content machine that you ladies are being fed is truly wild. Truly, like, mind-bending. And I think you bring up such an excellent point of the shame element.
Mm-hmm.
Like the shame of like, I didn't know this. What would have happened? Like, I'm such an idiot that I would have never thought of this until I saw mm-hmm. this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't just be like a, oh, good, that's helpful to know.
Right.
Right? It has to be this whole, like, death spiral into, like, but what if, what if, what if, what if, what if?
And I think with women, it shows up in dating, like we talked about last week.
Yeah.
In skincare, right? Oof. Like, the amount of shame I've felt for, like, not wearing sunscreen.
Oh, God. I literally, when I was in Portland.
Yeah.
I didn't wear sunscreen the first day. And my forehead turned into a cherry.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, oh, God, like, this is so embarrassing. Now everybody's going to know I, like, remember to put on sunscreen, like, 2% of the time.
Mm.
But then they're like, this is the only way. This is the only way you have to wear sunscreen. Have you seen videos of people putting sunscreen on the plane?
No. What? Because have you seen that through the... No.
Because of the radiation?
I've seen the cars. Oh, my God.
They're like, me doing my, like, sun care routine on the plane because the radiation is so strong. I also, I have a problem with, can we pivot to skincare on planes, please? Yes. I'm really angry about this.
Yes.
I've been on planes, clearly. But
I've been on a plane before.
I've been on a plane. Okay.
And I've never gotten sunburned.
And I've never gotten sunburned from the fucking window. Okay.
Yeah, except that what pops into my head is those like lights that they put on you, like those green lights that are like, oh, look at all the damage.
Look at the plane. I can't help it. I
can see every single sunburn that's ever been on your face.
I know. And you're a fucking loser. Because you've been sunburned before.
Yeah, because you're not taking care of your skin the way that I'm taking care of my skin. And you're going to be really regretful when you turn 50.
But here, okay. Correct. And I've been, one, I've been in all cabins of the plane. Okay? I've been in the back. I've been in premium economy. And I've been in business class. Okay? I can tell you right now, there is not a single part of that plane where I would feel at all clean enough to be whipping out my skincare.
I agree with that.
And also, I've slept in business class. You are getting maybe, depending on your flight, unless you are flying from like LA to Dubai or some insane long haul flight. If you are flying from the East Coast to Europe, you are not getting that much sleep. One, if you're in the back, that's just comfort 101. You're not sleeping. Right. And then you're all like contorted. And then even if you are in business class, the luxury of business class, right? They still feed you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you still have the excitement of like, well, I'm in the bed. I want to enjoy it and be awake for it. So then by time you actually fall asleep, because then they also wake you up for breakfast, you're getting maybe 3 to 4 hours of sleep. Maybe. Mm-hmm. In what orbit is that enough time for a face mask to fully absorb into your face?
People are eating with the face mask on.
I think it's dumb. I just think it's so stupid. I think it's just another way for them to say, like, do you like my face mask? Here's my link. Like, and then there's another part of me that I get mad at myself and I'm like, well, like, take your own medicine here, babe. And if that doesn't apply to you, scroll past it. But I just think it's like, that is a made up problem. That is a completely made up problem to be like, you should be doing skincare on a plane. No. That's just dumb. It's dumb.
I agree. I have also, so many problems with all the skincare stuff because you have to like try everything to see if it works and then you're just wasting money on it. And then, you know, the new product comes out and it's like, you're dumb that you didn't know. I don't know. I just learned about what hyaluronic acid does. I also don't use retinol that much, and I know I should, but the problem is my skin gets really dry, and then it gets bad, and I can't get out of the cycle, and I have rosacea. But I feel shame, because if I told anyone, they would be like, you're stupid for not using retinol.
You want to know something, babe? Your skin fucking glows. You have incredible skin. Every time you get on here, you have amazing skin. And anytime I've seen you, IRL, you have great skin.
Thanks. Be nice. I don't agree, but thanks.
Well, I agree with me. So you look great.
But they don't wear makeup ever.
But the other thing is, though, if we're going to talk about like the skincare on a plane or skincare in like weird places, your face is going to be fine going.
Wait, do you know what I saw on the internet today that was so good? Someone was like, your skin shouldn't be super moisturized all the time. Because you are like having your face. Imagine your skin is like a Band-Aid. You know what I mean? Like under a Band-Aid. Like,
yeah.
Where it's like. It gets like pruney and too moist and it can't like heal. And they were like, if your face is permanently glowy from too much moisture, it's that can actually inflame your face. So like that was helpful. But also, you know, now I'm scared that I'm like using too much moisturizer. This is a double-edged sword.
Yeah. I see. Okay. I used to get really bad eczema on my face, or I thought I did, and now I think I've realized I'm actually allergic to something.
Maybe your skin barrier was compromised.
Yeah, because I've completely, the only products I use now are CeraVe products.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cleanser, I have a moisturizer, I have an eye cream, and I have a night cream. Mm-hmm. And those are the four products that I use, and I think I have pretty good skin.
You do. You have, like, no wrinkles.
I know.
I get Botox to not have wrinkles, so.
You
somehow do not, like, even when you have full ability to move your face, you never do that. You never raise your eyebrows. Where I'm like, ooh, normally.
I'm dead faced, you mean? So I'm like, when I laugh.
You just don't raise your eyebrows.
I don't.
Ever. Which is fascinating to me.
Well, do you know what I've realized in session?
What?
That I'm trying to stop it, but I don't know how because it's the only face I know how to make that shows them I'm listening. You know, have you ever had that in therapy?
Yeah.
No, I kind of like.
You squint.
I like scrunt. Everything gets like scrunched. And I'm starting to realize that, like, you can kind of start to see it, like, through here. Mm-hmm. But.
Oh, I just furrow.
Oh, you?
Yeah. And this is with Botox. It's wearing off.
See, I don't know. My eyebrows just don't really move.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't. But now you'd be alarmed.
As a video episode.
If I came at you and was like, I can't even do it.
Yeah, you don't like widen your eyes a lot. Where I'm like very expressive normally with my face.
Mm. I am down here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I give my expression through my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I also use my hands. Mm-hmm. I use my hands a lot. But I don't know. I just think. You hit the nail on the head for the summary, which is people are not taking the time to flex the muscle of their inner knowing and like what matters to them. And that sounds like so cliche and silly for us to say after this whole thing. But like it really is like allow yourself to have some confidence to be like, I don't care about that. Actually, I don't care about that. I don't care about that thing that isn't important to me. I don't need to do that. I don't need that information. And I'm not going to be shaken to my core because I didn't have that.
This is my tip, is don't jump on a trend and then wait a month and see if you care.
Oof.
Because a lot of things I thought I cared about and then I wait and I'm like, nah, not really. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. Like, you know, this is easier to do with more superficial things like clothes or skincare or mouth tape,
right?
Or things like that compared to an actual thing like, you know, with dating or your child or whatever.
Right.
But I think it's coming back to your values also. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I used to like really be like, I'm going to one day be someone who wears a face full of makeup every single day. And then I was like, but I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, why am I wasting energy on this?
Mm.
Like, why am I acting like I would be a better person if I wore makeup every day.
Yeah.
Why do I think I would be a better person if I like regularly got my nails done? What a weird thing.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
But I truly believed that for a really long time. Yeah. Like, people who are together look put together, put on makeup, you know, all of that stuff. And I'm just like, I would rather spend my energy doing other things. I just would. I also, like, don't like the feeling of makeup on my face. Like, I, like, take it off immediately. So, you know, why? I hate going to get my nails done. What am I doing? I'm owning it as I get older.
My something that I'm wrestling with right now is I'm desperately trying to force myself to be into dresses.
Why?
Who cares? And because I feel like now I have a man.
And who now cares,
I'm like,
Sam?
Now I'm like, no, I know. There's a part of me that's
obviously
like,
obviously you're wrong.
I just stop it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, like I need to look like cute and feminine and blah blah blah. And I'm like, no, I fucking love. I love like a menswear vibe. That's always been me. I love it. But then I'm like, I don't want him.
I think your like body type also factors into that. Also, like some people look better in certain silhouettes than other people.
I'm too short. I am too short. And like I can't wear like knee length dresses are a problem.
Yeah.
I can't pull that off. Hard. My from my knee, I've measured this from my knee to my ankle is
I've
a subway foot long.
I've never seen you in a dress. You need to like send me a photo of you at a wedding or something.
I'll just send you a pic. Okay, for my own wedding, I'm concerned. One day.
I could wear a super cool pantsuit.
Do you know what Leanne would do to me?
Do you know what Leanne would do to me?
I don't know.
You could wear a really cool. I wore a jumpsuit.
To your reception?
The night before. And it was really cool. And it was probably cooler than my wedding dress.
I don't know. But see, what's hard is, like, I want a dress. That's what's hard. It's, like, I want one.
Yeah. Well, you could go shopping for them and see if you find the right one. And if not.
Do I have to wear a skirt?
No. Why would you need to wear a skirt?
To my wedding.
No, you could wear a pantsuit. That's pants.
Dress pants. Yeah. Will you one day, far from now, will you come wedding dress shopping with me? Because I know you'll be so mean in the best way.
Why? You guys are really getting a treat today of like, this is the energy normally of the subject bonus episode.
You're
getting it on the main feed.
These are our conversations.
Of course.
Yeah, no, and I say that with like all the love and respect in the world that I know if I was wearing something that made me deeply ugly, you would be like, that's really ugly, take that off. And I would be like, okay. Because I know you enough now to know like your faces of when like you're...
You do, like, you know me too well. Literally most people actually I don't think do. Where Sam knows when I'm not saying anything on purpose.
She does this little like her face kind of goes up and I'm like, oh, she hates that. She's miserable.
I'm too expressive with my face. I give it all away. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed this rant. If you like more of this energy, you should join us over on Substack. Because that is what these bonus episodes sound like. Only more chaotic.
Only way chaotic. So... as per usual, anything you can do to rate, review, share, subscribe would mean the world to us. Help get the word out for this little pod that is chugging along, and we're very proud of it. And we appreciate you being here. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.